At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Well, hello. Merry Christmas. It's been a moment, hasn't it? I actually just paused the Grinch, the animated version with Benedict Cumberbatch voicing the Grinch, which is on TV right now as I'm recording this, so that I could pop in to deliver another Christmas offering to you. I'm like a little film and music elf. Following my chat with Will Ferrell and Harper Steele, the second of our Christmas soundtrack and offerings to you sees the wonderful Cynthia Erivo return to soundtracking to discuss her breathtaking performance as Elphaba Thrupp in Wicked. We spoke to director John Chu and composer Stephen Schwartz around release, but we are absolutely delighted to have got a little bit of time with Cynthia, who is just so magnificent in this role. I almost feel like, I don't know, Cynthia, if you have been a fan and had the opportunity to watch her grow and thrive and thoroughly entertain over the years, whether that be in dramatic roles, whether that be on stage, whether that be portraying people like Aretha Franklin, nothing that Cynthia does doesn't feel like we are just getting a glimpse to a very special talent. And I feel like everything that she's done up to this point has been building blocks and little pieces that she's had to the puzzle that have allowed her to deliver the most amazing performance in this film. It really gives Cynthia plenty of scope to demonstrate not least the extraordinary vocal talents that she has. And here's an example, The Wizard and I, which she sings with Michelle Yeoh.
Did that really just happen? Have I actually understood this weird quirk I've tried to suppress or hide? Is a talent that could help me meet the wizard if I make good. So I'll make good.
How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, it's great to chat to you. I love that I have the opportunity to deep dive into this.
Chat, yeah.
Yeah, wonderful experience. Have you had a minute to just kind of take everything in to kind of how the beautiful response that, you know, the film's had, the music's had, separately together around the world?
I think I'm like trying to catch minutes every day.
Yeah,
I haven't had like a concentrated amount of just like sitting and like taking it all in yet. But I think every day there's just something, there's like something that makes me go, oh, what is happening? This is so crazy. Or I bump into someone who that reminds me of something, or someone says something. So I'm having like moments every day. Yeah. It still boggles the mind that it's not been out but 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been out for such a long time, but it's only been 2 weeks. So this amount of energy around something that's only been out for this short a time is really intense, but it's wonderful.
Yeah, well, it's just such a gift to the world. You know, I think where we are in the world right now as well, it's just what everybody really, really needs is just something where everybody feels seen, but something that everybody can kind of lose the world for, you know, a couple of hours.
Yeah. That's what's connecting a lot of people, the permission to come and disappear from what's happening outside, come and then look inside a little bit more, feel and connect with everyone else who's feeling as well. That's really wonderful. Yeah.
I loved as well how I felt like I was on a musical magic carpet. In, you know, when music can kind of take you somewhere that you have no control over. Every hair on your body makes you cry. It kind of just makes you have all the feels.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the many things that I loved about it, of kind of almost, it's almost kind of like music gets inside you and tells you how, what you need to release, like what you need to feel.
Yeah.
It's so special.
It's like truth serum, you know? And I think with this particular piece, especially for the things that I have to sing, they all have to, they're like a bit of the character. They're a piece of whoever they are. They're a piece of the thing that they're feeling. So that little piece of who, of the character and what they're feeling and what I'm feeling combined is sort of transported to everyone who's watching. And then it finds wherever it needs to find in whoever it is watching. And that gets shared as well. You know, that's a lovely thing, that of an experience, an emotion, a feeling is given and then it's taken to then release something else, like alchemy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I watched this really lovely little clip of you online today, your audition with a broom and a red cape, makeshift cape, in your jeans and a t-shirt. And it's so lovely. Can you even go back there now to kind of think of that process of the audition process to get in this role and, you know, what that involved for you?
Yeah, the first conversation was sort of ad hoc. I met John Chu, my director, at an event, and we started talking about this project, and he was telling me about what he wanted to do with it and how he felt about it, and I had told him about what I felt about the character and the and what this piece says, and it was just like a really gentle, genuine, generous conversation. We were just talking, no pressure, no anything. And then we set up a real conversation to talk about the character specifically. And I remember, I want to say it was maybe the day of the Met Gala. So I remember I had makeup on, and I wouldn't have had makeup on if I wasn't doing something. So I was doing, I think I was getting ready for it. And I took some time out. I remember I was in a hotel room, so I set it up by the window, and sat on the bed or something, having a conversation about what I felt the character was and who I felt she was and what I felt she'd been through and the connection that I had with this character and how I felt about her. And then I heard they wanted me to come in maybe about 3 weeks later. When I got the music and all the scenes, I started working on them like I was training for a marathon. So I would run and sing the songs, or I would, you know, I'd be in the shower and I would be singing songs over and over and over again. I would be running the lines constantly, running the lines over and over and over and over again. And then on the day of the audition, I was swimming laps, trying to sing the songs, swimming laps, reading the lines. Then I did a run, like back and forth, singing the song just to get it in my body. I remember I was like, I want it to be so in my body that when I get there, I'm not thinking about the lyrics, about the melody, that it's just a part of my DNA. And when I got there, that's kind of what happened. I remember feeling really grounded when I got in the room. And I think there's something that I've always done when I go in, or when I've been in for auditions previously and when I went in this time, I guess I knew I just wanted to be a bit of a blank slate and very much me. So t-shirt and jeans it was. I knew I'd be comfortable. Pair of sneakers because it was comfortable, and my little red cardigan that I had because it's like the softest, most comfortable, cozy thing. I got there, and I remember I had to do some singing first. Then the first actress came in, we did scenes with her, I did the songs, and then we did For Good Together. The actress goes, I'm staying, and they do another couple hours with another actress, same thing, songs, scene, duet. And I think that clip is me doing either The End of Divine Gravity or The Wizard and I. I remember before they asked me to sing those songs, I sort of explained to them that this piece was the piece that I escaped into. When I was at drama school, I might have been having a really bad day, or I felt really odd, or couldn't connect. I would go to a music room with a friend of mine, Michael Pivoy, and he would pick a set of librettos, and he would always pick Wicked. And so we would always take that book and sing as much as we possibly could until we had no more time left, and then go to class.
That's unbelievable.
I remember I got really emotional in that because it's the first time I had told anyone that that's what I was doing whilst I was at drama school. And I'd never seen the play. I'd never seen the show. I just knew that this music made me feel really special. It made me feel safe. So I kept singing it. And it felt good to sing it. And then I shared the song.
Wow.
But you couldn't have told me in that room that I wasn't wearing like the cape and I didn't have my broom. I saw it all, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
all of that, when it's in you, you just kind of go. Yeah. That green broom was my broom. And that cardigan was my cape, you know? Remember, I felt so alive in that room. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's an incredible story. All that training as well that you talked about, you know, about great use for when you got around to filming and all those.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. You're like, I can do this at any given opportunity.
Oh my God. It really did. Yeah. It sort of set me up for what I was needing to do anyway. Like, because I was prepared to do it for the audition, I was prepared to do much more for the film. That's what we're going to do, then that's what we're going to do. Are we going to fly? If we're flying and I'm on wires and I'm in a harness, then I want to make sure that I train my body to just be ready for it. So it's not an unfamiliar feeling to be up in a harness on wires, flying however many feet in the air, often very, very high, anything from 14 to 17. Shh, don't tell anyone. Madness. But it was so much fun. But the thing is, you have to let your body get ready for that. You can't anticipate what your body will feel like when it's lifted into the air and you have to then sing on top of it. But if you can prepare your body and the muscles in your body and the running, and you can do all of that before you get there, so it doesn't take so long for your body to get used to it. That's what we did. It was so much fun.
Those behind the scenes videos are incredible. But I love how much fun you look like you're having. Like you couldn't smile any wider if you tried. You're just like, this is amazing.
Yeah. I was sort of in my element because you know, a kid in the candy shop, I was just given all the things I could do, like all the things I wanted to do, I could do. You mean I can do my answers? I can do my answers. Okay. I'm singing live. I'm going to sing live. Okay. I can transform into anything. Like this woman, I'm transforming completely. We have green makeup. And I was getting to do all the things I love in one place.
Yeah.
I could not have been happier if you asked me. Yeah. I was having a great time. Not just because I got to do those things, but because I was surrounded by people who trusted me to do it. If I would ask, I'd like to do this stunt. Can we? Then the stunt team would be like, yeah, sure. Let's train for it. Can I come in earlier? I want to train and do the stunt work before we get on stage. And I want to have like a couple like days or a week or so working with the whole stunt team, feeling what we might use, what we might not use, creating a bit of a vocabulary book of the stuff that we might. And the more we did it, the more it felt good. I remember we just built up a bit of a family. It was myself, Ollie, Fizz, Mama Joe, Papa Joe. Like, we were just like creating this family of stunts people. So, and just having a good time.
Yeah, you can tell.
Having a great time. It's fab.
I love that as well. It's like another one of those, you know, kind of from the commitment you've made to the role. It's like, yep, Kay took Nick. That's going to go in the tool belt.
Thank you very much.
That's in there. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But I also really think, I think I said to you after I saw the film, that I just felt you kind of, you poured your soul into that role, and we feel it when we watch that film. And I think for that, you know, particular sort of sequence in the film, the commitment you've made to all of that you do, it kind of feeds into the character in a way. Do you know what I mean? In terms of she's got her wings, she's flying, she's, and so you as an actor being given that opportunity is, and that's totally feeding into the performance and how the character and how we then feel as an audience. Well, it's just so brilliant.
Thank you. So great.
You're a legend.
You are.
But honestly, the breadth of, you know, I think it was 2019.
Yeah.
I met you for the first time when with your George Michael last Christmas
T-shirt.
And I remember.
Yeah.
you know, and we were just talking about the wonderful variety of things that you were even doing back then and stuff. But you take this year and what we've had the opportunity to see you in, and we have, you know, Wicked, which is this huge, wonderful, brilliant thing, to this other film that I saw you in this year called Drift, which I was just blown away by as well. You're, you know, in terms of kind of talking about the two ends of the scale of of a character kind of stripped of everything.
Yeah.
But the kind of rawness and the quietness and the authenticity of that character as well. Just the range of this year. What a lovely opportunity as an actor to be able to kind of hit both ends and everything in between as well.
Yeah, I've kind of searched for those opportunities. I really want to keep stretching myself and challenging myself to find these gems and let them teach me to hone my craft even more. So Jacqueline is so quiet and internal. She has to almost be coaxed out of her shell. So much has happened to her that she can't really even bear to say the words. And that was a really wonderful exploration of what it's like to have to rebuild yourself. So much of it, so you don't even have the words anymore, so you have to rebuild language again, you know? And I really loved her because she was so, she had such dignity. And it's the thing that she just didn't ever let go of, even though she had nothing. And to play someone who has to find dignity out of nothing and finds it hard to see the light, but is still going.
Yeah.
She's still moving. She's got, it used to fascinate me, the idea that this character never stopped moving. She would just keep going. And yes, there's the idea that that her PTSD wouldn't allow her to stay still, wouldn't allow her to be in one place too long because the thoughts then come in. But also there's a part of her that's her determination that won't allow her to fade away.
Yeah.
That she wants to exist still, that she keeps trying to live. And I just loved that about this woman. And then you find the polar opposite, the opposite side of the spectrum, Elphaba, who also is just trying to figure out how to exist and be without having to apologize for it, and how to actually finally accept all of who she is and what she is, and finally being vulnerable enough to let people see her hurt and her pain and her loneliness, to be able to play with the idea that she sometimes covers it with intelligence and smarts and a quick, you know, witted comment here or there.
She's funny.
She is.
She uses that as a tool, I think, as well.
She does, Quick jokes, a quip here, dry humor, rolled eye, you know, those little things that she does that are hers. I feel like I've been given really wonderful gifts in these characters.
Yeah.
And been able to grow myself in, as an actor in them. And it's been wonderful to be able to do these things, you know, at the same time.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Yeah.
And we've got a whole other film this time next year which is like...
It's so crazy. And that's another...
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's another journey that they have to take. Because now they have to deal with the consequences of their decisions and their actions. And they've grown from them and they've learned from them and they've been affected by them. So to see where they go from here is going to be really interesting.
Have you done it all? Is it all done?
Yeah, all done.
Oh my God.
All done. We filmed both of them at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard. Just like...
It has been hard. Everyone keeps asking about it. Everyone keeps asking about two. And I'm like...
Well, because there's the musical, because people think they know what's going to happen.
Yes.
But John's not... Pardon the pun, he's not going to follow that yellow brick road. He's got his own brick road he's following to tell his
Everybody
version.
Thought they knew what was going to happen with this one. And I think it's really surprised people in the best possible way. And I think the same of two will happen. Yeah.
I love so many of her relationships on screen with Ariana. It's just so authentic. But Jonathan as well. I love those scenes that you have with Jonathan, and there's a real little twinkle in each other's eyes with that. It's just so
they meet each other. They sort of spar. with each other. And I love that. I loved doing those scenes with him because he matches. You can, there's like a really interesting dance that they do. Yeah. She sees him and he sees her. And I think that sparks something very interesting in the both of them. Where they go is really interesting too.
It's made me kind of like really want to dive into the kind of the history of it. You know, watching Wizard of Oz as a kid, like every year. Like I remember someone saying that in America, it was almost like a religion. Like every year it would be on telly and every... Wow. I remember doing that as well. Like it would
be... I thought it was every year I would... I think I was at my auntie's house or was at my house. We would always watch it. It would always be on... Would it be always like Channel 4 or something? You remember there's...
Around Christmas time though,
wasn't it? Christmas time.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
I think that's something that is universal...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But then there's a couple of other things that I'm really excited about. Prima facie.
Yes, prima facie.
How do you say it? How do you say it?
I say prima facie.
Great. Okay, I'm taking your word for it.
I hope I'm not wrong. That's how I say it. No one's correct. Yeah. So, but yes, we have that. And we were going to be filming earlier on this year, but the funding hasn't come through. So we wanted to get some funding and we're looking for that now. But the film is, it's a film that I will not let die because I want to do it.
Yeah.
It's too special not to. And it's a very special piece and I think it's really important.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's great. And can I ask about The Rose?
Yeah.
Is it a remake of the Bette Midler?
Remake of the Bette Midler.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We're working on a script right now. It's with Searchlight. That's good to go when the script is ready.
Oh my God.
Script is ready. We start production. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to tell my dad about that because we it's like one of those films is like our film. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, that's so exciting.
No, I was really excited. And I love where we're heading with it.
Yeah.
I think it'll be really special. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Full so on. Exciting. But special.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to go and listen to the soundtrack once I finish.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm also really excited to watch your actor on actor with Angelina. I think that's going to be so kind of wonderful to hear the two of you just talk about your experiences together and share. And
that was a really enlightening conversation, actually. It was a really lovely, open conversation about the experiences that we'd both had, both with music and the vulnerability of it and what it feels like to have to be that vulnerable. And I think for her, it was, you know, one of the first times having to do that, to open herself to people with music, with song, and what that takes and how vulnerable it makes you feel and where it has to come from as well. I love talking about that because it's something that I rely on, the vulnerability of what music does and the vulnerability of how it feels to use your voice to emote through song. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's so kind of, you know, you've someone who's used their voice and the variety of characters that your voice has kind of taken on over the years, you know, whether it's been, you know, in this or with the Aretha Franklin, you know.
Yeah,
it's been really lovely being reminded as you kind of are throwing up clips of you, I mean, performing in so many different beautiful, brilliant kind of arenas and stages and with different orchestras and stuff. There's nothing your voice can't do, Cynthia.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
I actually think it's just because I'm curious. I just want to try things. I want to see how far I can push myself, how far my voice can go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me about singing lullabies to James as well when you were flatmates. James McCardle. I love that story.
James McCardle, he couldn't sleep sometimes. So I'd just call him and I'd sing over the phone. I'd sing him a couple lullabies over the phone and it would help. I don't know. I think wherever the voice can help.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Music and voice, it is the best medicine ever, for sure.
Yeah.
Listen, lovely to chat to you. Really is. Thank you so much for your time. Have a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you. And
I'll see you 2025, I hope. Lots of love.
Yes. Lots of love.
Thank you.
Something has changed within me. Something is not the same. I'm through with playing by the rules of someone else's game. Too late for second guessing. Too late to go back to sleep. It's time to to trust my instincts, close my eyes, and leap. It's time to try defying gravity. I think I'll try defying gravity, and you can't pull me down.
Can't I make you understand? You're having delusions of grandeur.
I'm through accepting limits, 'cause someone says they're so. Some things I cannot change, but till I try, I'll never know.
From Wicked, that's the aforementioned Defying Gravity by Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. Every time I hear that song, it's one of those things that kind of comes up and just makes you cry without even realising that you need to. It's like a gift. It's wonderful. So great to play that, rounding off this latest episode of Soundtracking with Cynthia. My huge thanks to Cynthia for taking the time to talk to us. Wicked is still showing on the big screen and is a visual and sonic feast to match any Christmas dinner. Head to edithbowman.com to find every single episode of Soundtracking, including my previous chat with Cynthia back in 2018, and that episode with John Chu and Stephen Schwartz. Follow us on your socials. We're at Soundtracking UK, and we'd be really grateful if you could subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is called Soundtracking Extra. In fact, that would be the perfect gift from you to us. Next up, the final of our pre-Christmas treats, as composer Chris Bowers joins me to discuss his work on The Wild Robot. I very much look forward to the pleasure of your company then.